everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I am the founder and CEO, as well as the host of this weekly broadcast. We at SPED Homeschool, we empower families to home educate children with learning challenges, and I encourage you to check out our website at spedhomeschool.com to learn more about the resources that we have and the support that we offer families. Some of the best resources that we have on our website actually are our partners. And again, today, I have another one of our partners with us to talk about learning apps. And I'm going to pull up my pronunciation of your name because I don't want to say it wrong, but Sachin Kardaka? Is that
close enough?
Close enough. Okay. she works for the company Otsmo, and they became one of our partners in this last year, and they are a learning app. And I was excited to have them come on because our focus this month for our broadcasts and our blogs is to talk about different things we can do while on the go homeschooling. Because I know this time of year, as you're kind of nearing the end of the year, you're kind of tired of the books and tired of all these things. And sometimes field trips come up, or let's just learn outside and what can we do? And so that's what we're focusing on this month, is just how to get that learning out and about. So today we're talking about using apps to homeschool special ed on the move. And I'm excited to have you with us. And so, Sachin, maybe a good way to start the introduction is just how Otsmo got started and why are you and this company so passionate about educational apps?
Well, Peggy, first of all, thank you for having me here. Well, Otsmo began with our co-founders, Safaj. Little brother. He was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. Back then, he was in college. He was looking for additional educational support to, you know, provide his brother with the best possible chance, because from the research he's done, the best approach is to give his brother early and intensive education. So he started to research, but could not find suitable solutions. There were many reasons. One of them was special education is expensive. Not all families have access to speech therapy or special education sessions. And schools, most of them aren't equipped with providing special education solutions. So he started to research, but he couldn't find any that would fit the needs of his brother, because as your listeners might know, special needs require special solutions, because not all children learn the same way, or not all children need the same thing. So while he was doing this research, one day he realized his brother had been able to focus on his mobile phone like more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
And which is unique for, yes.
Yes, for an autistic child, that's unique, because he couldn't focus on his learnings or studies. So he started to look for mobile solutions. But again, he couldn't find any that would suit his brother's need. So since he was studying computer science, with a friend, he decided to build a simple game, a color matching game for his brother. And it worked. His brother managed to enjoy the game because the game was built with minimal stimulus, because he had overstimulation problems as well. And he learned the colors. He learned as easy as that. So this gave him hope. So fast forward a couple of years, he and his friend from college, and other co-founder, Sarjan, built Otsmo, a just simple special education game on mobile devices. And that's how Otsmo came to be. And now we're used by over 400,000 kids across the globe with special needs. So that's amazing.
Yeah. It's an amazing product. We actually have a review on our YouTube channel by one of our team members. And she kind of walks you through all of the functionality of your program. And it's in so many languages, too, which is amazing. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, in the U.S., we forget just how much access we have to special education services and other things. And when you go to other countries, it's either expensive or not accessible at all. And so you're doing an incredible service to families that really this is it's easy. It's everybody has a phone. So it makes it accessible. So,
well, one of our motto is that we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're just making things that work into building them into something that anyone or most of the people can have access to, so that quality education, quality special education, especially, is accessible to all.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, well, thank you for introducing us to
you're welcome.
To your company and just the passion behind what you do and the story. It's always nice to know the story because everything with passion has a story behind it. So, so I just want to thank the viewers that are on with us already. If you are watching on our Facebook page or on YouTube, you can just comment in the comments right where you're watching from. We'll be able to see those comments and include them right in our broadcast. We'd love to do that. If you are watching on our Facebook group, you do have to give permission to that group to be able to post on to the broadcast. And if you're watching from our Empowered Homeschool Network site, just know that you have to click into YouTube in order to make comments on there. If you click or if you make comments on that platform, I'll only see them after the show's over. So you can still answer them, but it's not the same as getting answers while we're live. So but thank you for joining us. Make sure you share this with other people, too, as we're going along. And we appreciate you being with us. And also for those who are listening later on the recorded sessions or watching the recorded session. So it's always fun to include you in. That's why we do this live. So Senshin, as we get started, I would love for you to maybe just approach, why are apps a good choice for families to use for educational purposes? And then to add on to that, what about for families who are often out and about?
Well, there may be a couple of answers to that question. So why are apps a good choice for educational purposes? One is that, as we've discussed, in this day and age, almost everyone has a smart device that they can take wherever they want or whenever they want. So even if it's just for supporting purposes, like making additions to your child's studies or just to have something specific like a speech therapy, apps are good choices for families to have around always. Another one is that parents have control, not in a bad way, but they have they can control what their kids see, what they do, what they learn. They can curate their kids' curriculum based on their needs, especially in the special education spheres, as we've discussed. It is important to build a solution that will fit the needs of your child. So apps, there are an abundance of apps on various app stores or, you know, Google Play Store, App Store. You can find specific solution or specific apps that you can customize to your child's needs. So that is why, you know, especially we've come to find this in the pandemic, like the importance of having access to, you know, quality education wherever you are. And this also makes it easier for parents on the go, like as you've discussed before. If you'd like to take a vacation or visit your family in another city, you can take your education with you. Your child doesn't have to stop, or the education isn't confined within the four walls of school.
Right.
And it also you know, it's an ease of mind knowing that your kid won't be, you know, left alone without their studies, without their teachers. We've had this problem. You know, there's already a gap in special education compared to education of neurotypical children. Because special children cannot access to quality education as they should. But with mobile solutions, this gap has closed down a bit. And with the pandemic, you know, we've all been in our houses without access to our friends or teachers, or maybe some people didn't even have internet connections. This proved that mobile solutions could be a solution to a problem that has been around for many, many years, but now we're just seeing the benefits of it. Especially for the past 2 years.
That is, there's so much in that. And yes, there, you, when you were talking, you made me think of something I'd never thought about before. When my kids were younger, all my kids are on the spectrum, they needed something that was, you know, their regular routine. Because if we missed out on that regular routine, like we went out and we were, or we were on vacation, it upset the apple cart, to say the least. But I think if they would have had that learning app as kind of like this thing that created this,
the filler
foundation, yes, but also was like more recognizable as to what they were used to versus all this new stuff. It was something that was familiar and you could fill that in, and it probably would have made it easier for them. I think sometimes we would do like audiobooks in the car, and that would bring them back down. But I could see how a learning app could do the same thing. It never even crossed my mind till you mentioned that. And I got to say something. So, but those are all really good points about why those apps, and especially now as we find that more people are using their phones versus even computers for just basically everything. And that's so why not get your kids?
Why not use it for education?
Exactly. Make it a learning opportunity instead of just play. Yep. So yeah, that's great. Awesome. So what are some things parents should look for in an educational app to ensure quality learning? Because I know there's a lot out there and they're probably going, well, which one do I pick?
And that's a valid question, because as you said, the resources are endless. But while searching for an app or a mobile solution, a parent or caregiver should first assess what their kid needs. They need support in math, or do they need communication? Do they need to build on their communication skills? So they should be looking for solutions that would fit the needs of their kids. That should be the first point, I think. The second one is that quality education doesn't always mean the most comprehensive solution ever.
Would you expand
sometimes
on that?
Sometimes more specified solutions like speech therapy that would help, that would support the kids' regular education. Maybe that's the support they need. This also, you know, comes down to figuring out what your kid needs. Also, science is our North Star. So, you know, for example, autistic kids, it is important that the stimulus inside the app like ads or, you know, flashing images.
Oh,
or
yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Loud sounds. Those would be disruptive to the education, to the attention of the kid. Mm-hmm. So the inner mechanics of the app also should also be suitable to the child's needs and sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, these are it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably, you know, some of the more free or cheap options are going to have some of those things until to really understand what ads will be coming up and other things so that will disrupt the learning process. And and I love your point. I never even thought about this, is that when you focus on like an app that does everything, they usually don't do everything well. And so to find one that is so focused on exactly what your student needs to work on would be more important. And
sometimes some solutions have a couple of things together.
Right.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing here is to assess the content and then decide. And it's okay if, you know, if you try an app and it doesn't work out for you, not everything works out for everyone.
Yes,
so
that's a very
you should
point.
Also try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's the best educational app in the world, maybe your kid won't like it. So their preference also matters.
Exactly. Yeah. All those other things that are thrown into the mix. And so that's why your child might like an app that your neighbor's kid does not like. They may have, you know, even if they had identical issues. And
that
comes down to a lot of things. Yeah. And finding what works, I think, is worth the hunt.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Because you're going to find a lot more success.
This is a journey. And in this journey, there will be ups and downs, and there will be good solutions, bad solutions, solutions that will, you know, make your life easier, make your kid's life easier.
Right.
Sometimes other solutions won't work. So it's just it is also stressful to, you know, get into this hunt, but it will, if you are able to pursue it till the end, then your kid will benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Highly benefit from it. So it is a hunt worth going for, I think.
Yep. And just that's great advice for looking for apps, looking for homeschool curriculum across the board, helping your child.
That's true.
It is a journey, and it's not something that, you know, oh, this one looks good. It looks like it works for other people. So let's just use this and it's going to be successful for us. Not always, but just keep trying and working things out, and eventually you find your groove and what works.
That's true.
And that's what's most important, is finding what works. So how can a parent prepare their child to use an app effectively on their own? Or because I know some kids probably will never reach that, they can do it all by themselves, but at least with, you know, the least amount of assistance possible.
This really depends on the app or the solution, I think. Some apps are built to have the parent included or the caregiver included. Some apps are built in a way that allows the child to move freely. So it really depends, I think.
Yeah.
For instance, some apps are interactive, you know, kid has to do something or not. So there will be a period, a learning curve for the child to get used to it.
Right.
But of course, this also depends on the developmental level of the child as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a really fixed answer for this.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we've built our apps with a few prompts as possible for the child to be on the lead. The child is the driver because they will be the learners. The content is curated to them, so they can take the wheel. But this isn't true for all children, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some kids are, you know, great at math, but they're not mm-hmm. good at, you know, communication skills. They don't right. know how to take turns. It really depends on the app and the child, but mm-hmm. practice makes perfect. So the more they do it, the more right. they will get used to it. The more things are in a routine. Mm-hmm. Kids love routines.
Yes.
They learn mm-hmm. by practicing, by, you know, doing that every day or every right. other day. So they will yeah. learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that one additional question to go with that is, you know, they do have to kind of develop that routine, and an app when it's new is really sometimes confusing or yep. So when you first start using an app, I'm assuming not right away do you want to be out and about and just hand it to your child. Mm-hmm. So what should a parent do to make sure that their child is okay, that they know how to use the program in the right way before they just kind of hand it off?
Yeah. If it's an app that is, you know, carefully built, mm-hmm. The design of the app will guide the parents along the way.
Okay.
For instance, for special education, Otsuma special education, mm-hmm. we have an onboarding session section where the parent is asked questions about their kids so that their kids will get a curriculum that will suit their developmental level and needs.
Mm-hmm.
After that onboarding session, the parent can, you know, sit with their child, mm-hmm. play a couple of games or do a couple of practices, and then leave it at that. And then okay. come back next day, mm-hmm. do that again.
Right.
After a while, usually this is how it happens. Kids mm-hmm. love playing games, you know, yeah. learning by playing games.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably ask to play with the app.
Mm-hmm.
So then you will give the app to them.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if you are aware of this, but for the past year, we've been collaborating with one of the world's biggest child's play companies in the world, mm-hmm. Sago Mini. And oh. we've developed a speech app with them.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Sago Mini First Words. Mm. In Sago Mini First Words, which can be used by both neurotypical and neurodiverse children,
hmm.
the child is in the lead because it's it starts out like our special education app. The parents mm-hmm. are asked questions, and then they can give the app to the child because the app is specifically designed for the use of the child.
Mm.
And there are parental gates to okay. protect the child. The, mm-hmm. You know, we have to ask permission for microphones and cameras for mm-hmm. the app to work, but those are all given by the parent. The child is not interested in them and mm-hmm. they cannot access them.
Yeah.
So by taking measures, we've managed to make our apps into something that can be used mm-hmm. by the child on its own, on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But this, again, comes back to the kid's developmental level,
right?
Also yep. their age.
Mm-hmm.
It's always best to, you know, be with your kid while mm-hmm. you're, especially if it's your first use.
Mm-hmm.
to guide them, but they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Kids are
yeah.
great.
They figure it out faster than we do.
Yeah.
We just have to sit and watch and make sure that no wrong button is getting pushed and we turned
yep.
all the right parental guides on. And
yeah.
And so, yeah. But I think it's pretty typical. And I've never used apps with my kids. I mean, apps weren't even around. That's old. until my kids could run them on their own anyways. But the majority of them do have some sort of parental control or parental settings, mm-hmm. like you were talking about. And so making sure that that's set up properly, and you may not get it the first time around, mm-hmm. but your child is like, why can't I get access to this? This is where I need to go. So then, you know, it's time to,
yeah.
to check that. But those are all really good points about getting them set up for success. Because when you do have that, then when you're out and about, you don't even have to think about it. You could just hand them the mobile device and say, okay, while we're waiting in line, because it looks like there's about 50 people in front of us, here you go. And they can be learning while you're standing in line or, you know, waiting for a performance to start. And if they have earbuds or headphones, then you don't bother anybody around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have been able to, you know, find a suitable app that you think is okay to show to your kid or okay to give to your kid, that you know, proves the quality of the app. Because if it's something full of ads, or if it's something, you know, if there's something, a content that is harmful to your child, you think that will be harmful to your child, then it wouldn't be, you know, smart to give your child the device and then leave. But if you have done the research first, so that is why we always tell to parents and caregivers that try it out because it might work, it might not work, you might like it. Mm-hmm. But we trust in our products
because we worked
with experts, child psychologists and education experts to make sure that the content and the experience of the app is suitable for the use of kids.
Yes.
And kids are smart. Kids will figure it out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But that is a good point, because sometimes apps are created with maybe an adult user in mind and they aren't made for a child. You may think, oh, well, this teaches this concept, but it may not be the most appropriate. And so that's something else that's good to remember.
Kids are bosses. We don't talk down to kids. Developing something for kids is quite difficult because, as you said, we have to keep them in mind always, all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's especially difficult when it comes to special needs children because there are, you know, we are living in a world that is practically designed for neurotypical children or neurotypical people. Mm-hmm. So it's an additional challenge. But if, you know, science is on our side. We have methods that work. We have solutions that work. We're just making it possible for everyone to access it on their mobile devices, on the go, wherever they are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important to remember that, you know, we want the kids to feel like they, like you said, they're in control a little bit and they're driving their learning because that encourages them to keep learning versus, you know, if they get stuck or something's too hard or it's difficult to understand, then they're going to shut down eventually and they're not going to want to keep using that app and keep learning. But if they're having fun, they don't even know they're learning. And that's the wonderful thing. We can trick them into it. So what types of learning can be done using an app? Therapy? Is there anything else?
Well, practically everything you can teach through an app. Maybe we weren't aware of this fact like 3 years ago, but with the pandemic.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
We started to explore our options, options that had already been there now became viable and like top solutions. So through an app, if it's designed properly, if it's developed for a specific purpose, it is possible to teach anything, I believe. But not all children are built the same. So for instance, I can learn math through an app, or I can learn language through an app, that doesn't mean my friend can do the same. Some children need face-to-face interventions. That's the case. And that will never change because everyone has a different learning experience or journey. They learn differently. So I think abstract concepts could be difficult to explain to children. For instance, we have in our Otsmo special education app social stories, which are used to teach social concepts to abstract concepts to children, like taking turns.
Right.
To a degree, they can learn about it, but they have to experience it in order to, you know, really learn, absorb the information and apply it into their own lives. So to a certain degree, we can learn a lot.
Right.
We can learn almost everything through an app, but this doesn't eliminate the need for other interventions, the face-to-face interventions, or, you know, traditional school environment also serve a purpose. Kids get together, they socialize, they learn from their peers. That's also an amazing asset, and that's also important for their development. So apps are great, apps are amazing, apps can teach a lot, but there, you know, other methods can also be necessary for that specific individual's education.
Yeah, it's a good point to bring up about, you know, needing to actually realize it in the environment it needs to be used in. It's like the social stories. We can study about a lot of different things, but if we don't see it happen and we don't interact with it, it is still an abstract concept until we actually live within it. I know I'm taking some self-defense classes and I can watch my instructor do it. And then it's like, okay, it's your turn to spar it out. And it's like, how exactly did that go? And so yeah, it's completely different when your body and your thinking is all incorporated in the motion and all of that. So there's an extent. And I think, you know, when we take apps and we are on the move and we're using them maybe for supplemental reasons, to be able to work on concepts that we've already taught in a more traditional method. But it's all—it's like coming at a subject from all these different angles, and you just never know which one is going to hit the most with your child.
Yeah.
And so the more the better. And like, so, yeah.
Like Zafar's brother, like little brother, his name is Zafar. I remember Zafar talking about it. He couldn't just figure out how colors work. He couldn't learn with his special education teacher.
Yeah.
And this doesn't mean that his special education teacher didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah, they did. They provided the standard educational methods, but it didn't work.
Right.
But with an app, with a playful, gamified education model, he could learn. So this meant that Alper was more comfortable, or you know, he was able to learn through an app a concept that he couldn't learn in traditional methods, but his friends could learn from that special education.
Yeah. So
it is, as you said, important to try it out. You know, you don't quite know what will work, but there are solutions. There are great options, and it doesn't even have to be one option. You will probably have to combine a couple of methods to get a good mix to nail down what you want to learn.
Yeah. And I think as parents who homeschool our kids, we're always thinking, well, okay, we'll try this, then what's next? And so I always have that continual thought of what's the next backup plan, because we just don't know what's going to stick, and it's trial and error. And same thing with a lot of special ed teachers too. It's a lot of trial and error. I had a question for you and I totally forgot it. I'll probably come back to it. But that makes me think, if you're watching and you have a question or comment for us, we would love for you to share that with us as well. Now my brain is going, where was that question? Okay. So I guess that really jumps into the next question that I had for you. Do you have any suggestions for combining app learning with real experiences?
Well, it is always good to implement what you've learned into your life. Mm-hmm. Repetition is a good portion of our learning. Kids learn by mimicking and repeating what they've learned. Mm-hmm. This is how we learn as human beings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So education, this is also true for traditional education as well. If you learn something at school and if you don't bring it at home, then it stays at school.
Right.
So whenever possible, it is important to apply what you've learned.
Mm.
For instance, you've learned brushing teeth, let's say. You can help your kid or you can prompt your kid to, yesterday we've learned we should brush our teeth in the morning. So repeat, and then a week later it turns into a habit. It turns into a healthy habit. Behavior is learned, or it's the same as colors. Like, let's say your child learned the color red. You can, you know, while preparing breakfast or making a salad, this tomato is red. You can incorporate what they've learned into your daily life, and in no time they will do the same. Because kids are like sponges.
Right. They will copy and mimic you whether you want them to or not.
That's true. That is also why it is so important to, you know, be a good role model. if you want your kid to learn a behavior or anything, model it.
Right.
If you want them to read with them, read in front of them, you know, talk about reading, talk about what you've read. It's amazing how kids are so curious and so eager to understand the world around them. So that is why it's not that difficult to, you know, give them something. It's just, it takes practice to make it stick.
Yes. Yeah.
I also had another point. I forgot.
Okay. Well, the one thing that, you know, you talked about them needing to practice.
Yeah.
Long ago when games were first getting introduced into education, I know I picked a typing game that really was not designed well. And it really backfired on me, because what happened was my kids were gamers. And they wanted to win. You don't win at typing. Typing takes practice, you know? And so you had, it just, I realized, okay, this is not working. Now they have typing programs out there that actually just, you know, cause the child to repeat, and instead of winning the game, because, you know, in 3 weeks, I'm sorry, a fifth grader is not going to learn how to proficiently type, no matter how well they won that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
repetition is key, but you know, sometimes we may overdo it.
Yeah. See, there's pluses and minuses to that, too. Yeah. So the question that I was thinking of that now came back to my brain, because you were talking about Zafir's brother and being on the spectrum, and what we have learned a lot through the pandemic and working with kids on the spectrum with more video related, app related things, is their anxiety goes down.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you're opening up possibilities for learning because of the reduction of anxiety. Have you seen the same thing with just the use of your app and it being more successful because of that?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, we've mentioned the overstimulation and the, you know, the world around us being built in a way to serve mostly neurotypical children and people. So this is a stress factor for anyone on the spectrum, because even if they have a diagnosis or not, they don't know, they don't relate to the world around them as neurotypical people do. So every day is a challenge for them. Once you remove those challenges, you remove the stress factors. Maybe some kids on the spectrum don't like the classroom they're in, don't like the life the classroom has in.
Yes, that makes a huge difference.
If you are in an environment that you can control for the, in terms of the stimulus, stimuli, if you can control that, then their stress is relieved. Once they're not stressed, they can focus more, or they can focus on things they enjoy more. Once they're at relief, they achieve that relief, they can, you know, relate to the world around them differently. They can be more open, or they can be more open to learn. Because if you are in, if you are anxious, or if you are feeling bad, you don't want to focus on something else. You need to feel, you know, at a certain level to do something. This is true for everyone. So the pandemic has been bad, but it has been a blessing in disguise in some cases. It taught us that, well, it taught pretty much everyone that kids learn differently. Kids have different needs. And once you satisfy those needs, kids will be happy and they will learn happily by playing games, or, you know, just interacting with their family members or their friends online. It all depends. It all depends on the kid and their needs. This made us, because we were at home all the time, we realized what we needed, or, you know, what made us happy, or what made us relax, what made us stressed. We took a stock, everyone. And this also happened in education and for children with special needs. So we've been hearing a lot about that from our users, from parents and caregivers, that, you know, they, their kids were more eager to get with their routine of, you know, using our app, because it's a routine. Like they wake up in the morning, do their routine, play with Ultima Special Education, for instance, and then do an activity, because, you know, they don't have all of the stress of the outside world.
It's more low key and on their own terms, which is
on their own terms.
And it's nice to see that, as things are kind of going back to normal, that a lot of these things are sticking, and people are saying, no, wait, I'm not going back completely, because we learned, like you talked about, we have learned through this process, and now let's apply what we learned and make what we had better. And so that's super exciting. And and we've seen so many people just stay homeschooling because they're like, this is awesome. We're going to make this work. we were so scared to get started, and here we are.
I don't remember the statistics, but I've seen that, you know, even high schoolers were so much productive and so much happier because they didn't have to get up super early to go into traffic and go to school. They just woke up like at a decent hour and then opened their laptops and got into their classes and did their homework. I think, you know, this, the pandemic has been bad, but it showed us that we have what we need to make education work for everyone. We have the tools. We have, we can make it work for everyone, with those with special needs, those who are neurotypical, or, you know, those who are homeschooled. We just, we have what we need. We just have to find quality resources and encourage ourselves, I think, to take the right path.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so awesome to see that all of these mobile solutions are becoming quality educational tools, because we are a more mobile just society now. And a lot of families, now that we're starting to travel again, we will pick up and leave and we will do school somewhere else. Yeah. But yet we will still have access to all that technology and not have to lug, you know, 20 pounds of books with us like we used to. And I mean, books are great. I love them, but it's nice to have some alternatives, especially ones that your kids find are enjoyable and don't even think that they're learning. And
That's also important too. If the engagement, if the kid is not engaged with the content, then it wouldn't work, because then you wouldn't, you know, get to the child to teach them. Mm-hmm. But if it is engaging enough and educational enough, and it is customizable to their needs, then you have the perfect recipe for on-the-go education.
Right. Have you ever gotten the question, you know, well, that's great that kids can learn on games and apps, but what about when they hit the real world? Have you ever had to answer that question before?
In some capacity, I had to answer that question. The education and play is not so different to me. They go hand in hand, because play, we have this conception in society that play is just play. That is not true. Play is not just play. Play teaches a lot of things to children. Play develops children's brains.
Yes.
Literally develops their brains. Mm-hmm. So when I say play, when I say learning by playing, I mean that it's like a well-oiled machine that fuels one another.
Right.
If the child is engaged, if they are having fun, which they need to have fun, if they're not having fun, they will not do that.
Yes.
They will not.
It's
learn.
Important.
Mm-hmm. It is important, because education isn't like a point that you need to reach. It's a journey. It's something you learn along the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going out, looking at the trees is also education, because kids learn that.
Mm-hmm.
But also learning colors and going out and saying, oh, look, that tree is green. That's also education.
Right.
So I don't think that real world is, I don't think that you can separate education from the real world. This is, the mobile solutions are just one aspect of academic education, maybe, but it is just one aspect of a child's development. So it should be supplemented with play, with traveling, with, you know, socializing with peers. So it all really depends. I think they cannot be separated, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just become another component for learning. And it's amazing, the possibilities. And I mean, I think we've only begun to tap that market. And I'm excited that Atsmo is at the forefront of that. I'd like you to tell us just a little bit more about your company and how our listeners or viewers can connect with you and your products.
Well, Atsmo is a powerhouse for developing special education solutions for kids with special needs. Mm-hmm. We have two main apps, Atsmo Special Education and Atsmo Speech Therapy. And we've also just launched a brand new speech app with Sego Mini, and it's called Sego Mini First Words. You can reach us at the email website address that you're seeing on the screen now.
Atsmo, I'm going to spell it out because I know we have The podcast listeners won't be able to see the screen, but it's otsimo.com. And then you need to make sure you pick the English version because there are many languages that it's in, which is awesome.
Also, if you'd like to, you know, if you have any question for us, you can email us at info@otsumo.com or you can directly reach our co-founder Zafar at zafar@otsumo.com. It's zafer@otsimo.com.
Awesome. Yes. And he is great to respond. And And we're excited to have Otsumo on our website. And like I said earlier, is one of our reviewers actually did a video review of their one of their programs. And so you can see firsthand just how that that works and what's involved in that. So yeah, this has been awesome. I've appreciated all of your answers and your input, Sachin.
Thank you so much.
Even though Zafir had to pull out last minute, you did a great job.
Yeah, I hope I've been a sufficient replacement.
You have. Yes. It's been awesome having you on, and
I appreciate you
doing this last minute because I know it's not always easy.
I was nervous, but I've so enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Good. And I see we've got a couple hearts from our viewers, and we had a comment from one from Omer that was watching on YouTube. Said, no questions here, just appreciating the marvelous conversation. Really eye-opening and informative. You're doing God's work, Peggy. Yeah, thankfully God's in the driver's seat and not me. So we appreciate all of you in our community, and just know that this will be available to download on Sunday. We load up that, and then next week we'll have some shorts from this video that'll republish again on our YouTube channel. And so we're going to continue the conversation of just what we started talking about a couple weeks ago was learning on the go. And we're going to talk about storytelling on the go. And how do you increase storytelling skills in your children while you're out and about? And we've got a guest that is very into storytelling and teaching kids, especially kids with special needs. She said, actually, they're better than the neurotypical ones. They've got better imagination. So you got to join us for that and see what they have, an educational program too that really helps your kids. It brings out what's inside. And a lot of times our kids with special needs just need that prompting that is there. So, another comment from another YouTube viewers. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Thanks for watching. And so, I want to thank all of our audience for just joining us. You guys are amazing. We love you. And we love that you join us for these conversations every week. That's what we're all about. I do want to let you know that we are hosting a family retreat this summer. It'll be an in-person event. And we still have 13 spots open for families. So if you want to be in Minnesota this summer and spend a week with us, I'm going to be there. Steve Demme from Matthew C., who is also the chairman of our board, will be our retreat pastor. And we are just going to have an amazing week of giving you respite and renewal while we're out in a camp setting, just enjoying fun with one another and reconnecting to God. So if you want more information about that, just visit our website at spedhomeschool.com and go to Get Homeschool Help, and you'll see that up on the top of the page to find out more information. And make sure also to check out our YouTube channel. Do a lot of searches. We've got hundreds and hundreds of videos. Actually, I think we're nearing 1,000 soon. So there's a lot there. So search the content, search our website. We've got hundreds of blogs that are real short to read. Promise they aren't super long. We made it that way because we know that your time is limited. So thanks again, Sachin. for your time, for your wisdom that you shared with us. Appreciate it. And
thank you so much for having me.
And for the work that you guys do. It's just amazing. And I appreciate that for us being able to just send people to you. And that's what we love about our partners. They're always so encouraging and helpful and so passionate about what they do. And we love knowing that there are companies out there that can support our families with the resources they need. So that's awesome. Well, all right. So everybody, I will see you again next week, same place, same time. So, and we'll be talking about storytelling on the go. So we will see you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.